You're here. We're going to jump into our study in just a minute. Before we do, just want to have a prayer together. Are there any updates to the prayer list that we need to be aware of? All right. As far as announcements go, just please remember December the 4th is the teacher appreciation dinner here at the building. Be thinking and preparing for that. We have a few other things that are going to be quickly approaching as well as far as activities of the church. So let's remember those as we move ahead.
Dinner in this context means lunch.
Yes, appreciation lunch. Yeah, that's the first Sunday, so it'll be in coordination with that. And I'm assuming that Sunday we're not asking for anybody to bring anything as far as food goes, because I believe that will be provided by the church. So it would be a little different fellowship, you know, take a break from that. So please keep that in mind. The
holiday
get-together is December the 10th, so keep that in mind as well. It's Saturday. What was the time for that? You may remember.
Well, I thought somebody said 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
I believe what Jackie said.
Yeah. So 4 o'clock, December the 10th is when that's scheduled for. Any others? All right. If you don't mind, we'll have prayer together and then we'll jump into our study. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father above, thank you so much for loving us, Father, for showing us so much kindness and graciousness each day. We thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that comes to your Son. We pray, Father, that you'll please bless our time this morning, that as we reflect upon your will and your word, that you'll help us to consider deeply these things, and that we're needed, that we can strive to make the changes necessary and to be strengthened in the areas where you need us to be. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless and be with the congregation here. Father, we have several that we've been praying for and remembering in our prayers. We pray that you'll please continue to bless and be with those who are dealing with physical ailments and as well as those who are dealing with spiritual issues of life. And Father, we pray that if there are any who are not members of your body, that we can continue to reach out to them with the gospel, that it will work on their heart and mind, that they can continue to consider these eternal questions of salvation and where they'll spend their eternity. Father, please continue to bless us all. Please forgive us for where we fall short. And Father, please continue to bless our homes and Father, our congregation. Again, Father, thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his holy and precious name we offer this prayer. Amen. All right. So we've been talking about the family. And I'm sorry, my voice, all the stuff in the air is getting to me. But we've been looking at the dynamics of a godly family. And we've discussed and spent some time looking at the roles of a husband and a wife as God desires and has laid them out. Last week we completed talking about the role of the mother, the wife, and the family. And so as we only have a couple weeks left here before we begin a new quarter. Now, before we jump into this, I just want to ask something of you. So as the next quarter begins, there are two options that I've been considering about class-wise, and I need your feedback. And so you can get with me, drop me a note or something. The two options are, this year and last, the leaders, we're doing Ezra and Nehemiah. So one of the thoughts is, it might be good to study those books as adults, so that helping our children, our grandchildren with that. And also, just as Christians, we need to continue to study those books. So that's one option, is to study Ezra and Nehemiah. The other option is right now, a lot of things are going on in our culture. I mean, this past week, we just had the Senate approve a bill in support of homosexual marriage. And I know there's a lot of people who are concerned about topics like that. And so the other option would be to deal with some hot button issues during the next quarter. As Christians, how do we respond to things like homosexual marriage, transgenderism, some other cultural key issues? So think about that. If you have a lean one way or another, let me know. That would help me out in consideration of that. So just some thoughts. So in this study, we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 5, and now I want to move on into Ephesians 6 and then discuss some things in regard to our children in raising or in creating Christian homes and creating an environment for our children to grow up in, to be nourished and strengthened. What is it God is wanting from us? So let's go there, and I want to read that, and then we'll break it down and spend some time talking about some aspects of what Paul brings up and some other things from the Scripture. So somebody read Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, please.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient
to them.
Okay,
that's good. That's good, Connie. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought
you were saying something. You're a good reader. I'll let you go on, but we'll jump right into this. So Paul has spoken about marriage and trying to help illustrate the church. And now he breaks off from directly speaking about the husband and wife relationship to speaking about children and what God wants from children and from parents. And so he simply states in verse 1, children, obey your parents. Now, that's pretty straightforward. I don't know, there's not a lot of deep discussion about what does he mean here. But, and I wish it were that simple, right? Don't you? But he adds that little kind of notation on the end of that in verse 2. And he says that children are to honor their father and mother. And then he relates it back to what?
Ten Commandments.
When God delivered to Moses those initial Ten Commandments, of course, in the Old Testament, are there Ten Commandments?
Anymore.
Like 630. The world has mislabeled that as the Ten Commandments. So God gave a lot more than ten. But those were the initial Ten Commandments. And those were the ten that really formed the basis of their society. And the rest of the commandments all would fall somewhere underneath one of those commandments, those initial. But so God, in the first three, talk about, or really the first four, I would argue, all deal with their relationship with God. And then he turns to their relationship with one another. And in doing that, one of the ones he gave was, you are to honor your father and mother. Now, we talk about that word honor, but that's not a word we use a lot. And we know words can change over time, but what is it God means by that terminology? What did he mean by it?
I would substitute respect in there.
Okay, respect.
Obedience.
Obedience.
You're going to honor your father and you're going to do what he says.
Okay.
I like the last part of verse 1, what's right.
Hmm.
What's right?
What's right? So, I'm trying to think how to explain. So, is it just obedience? Is that really what he's looking for?
It's
there?
Obedience to what God says, not what.
What now?
It says obedience to what God says. It says in the Lord. It's not just what the parent wants.
Okay.
That's obedience.
Okay. Miss Mary, you want to say something too?
Go on beyond respect.
Okay. Yeah, it goes beyond obedience. It goes beyond just respect. Can I obey what my parents do but not give them honor?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same as true with God, right?
Yeah,
I can do what God wants me to do without really being honoring him. Right? If I just do simply what he asked me to do, but I can do it in such a way that I bring dishonor on him. And it's the same thing with our parents. And there's also a thing, could our parents ask us to do things that we shouldn't do? Sure. So, but should we still honor those parents? To the extent that we don't violate God's truth. All right, we can do that. And so when we think about the word respect, it's, so I don't want to apply the principle of God on it, right? So we revere God in a different way than any human being. But there is a certain respect in our words and in our behavior that we would give to our parents. Now, who in here was completely respectful to your parents when you were young? Anybody want to bravely raise your hand and say you were the most you know, this is a hard one. Anybody as a teenager been like me and said things in a mean way, disrespectful way to your parents or acted like that? So you think about that, like practically, how do we honor our parents? And I'll get in the second part of that in just a minute. I know I'm not got there yet. But how does that look? Like, where's the challenge in that as children?
Well, children, it's difficult because you're from a toddler on, at some point you have to learn not to be self-centered. At some point you realize the world doesn't just revolve around you, and that you have people who are sacrificing for you, you have people who are taking care of you, you know, people who are trying to guide you and help you. That's part of the challenge. Child has seen that.
I agree. And that's, you know, that's why they're in our care, is we're hoping to teach them how to do that. I'll come back to that, Harry.
There could be a past, present, and future in honor. I guess I'm a little biased, but the future would include taking care of their parents. They took care of you when you were in the past. Now in the future, what do you think about it?
Oh yeah. Well, that's an important topic to talk about with this. So let's go back to kind of, I want to combine what you all said. So our children are going to have to learn how to honor their parents. Now how do they learn that?
Being taught.
From us, right? From their parents.
Watch us with our parents.
Huh?
Or they watch us with our parents.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I was going. So, like, we give them a pattern to follow. And they look at us for everything. You watch your, you know, it's funny because how do your children learn how to hold a fork? I can't remember one time ever sitting down with either of the boys and showing them this is how you hold a fork to eat.
But you really did every time you did it.
But they learned how to do it, right? Exactly. And they learn by watching. So they watch everything. And so how do I teach them respect? Well, by how I treat my parents. But we don't interact with our parents every day. Some of us maybe do every day interact with our parents. But some of us don't. But there are other people we interact with every day. Your spouse. How respectful you are toward your spouse teaches your children how to respect you. And so if you're very disrespectful with your spouse, what message are you teaching your children? You're teaching them to not respect you or any of the other people in their lives, their authority figures, like their teachers, their Bible class teacher, or, you know, you name it. And so they watch us, and they see how we treat our family members, our spouse, our other family members, strangers, and the church. And so I think that's part of it. And then I think getting into what Harry was mentioning there, that honoring our parents doesn't end when I turn 19 or 18, 19 years old, right? I can do. Now, what about if my parents aren't members of the church? Does that give me license to disrespect them? So how do I show them honor and respect?
So part of it is just position. Mm-hmm. I mean, we honor people, we should honor people, regardless if they're perfect, because they're not, no one is, because of their position. And so, I mean, there's a bit of learning that as a child even God, even if people don't fully obey Him, and just how they use His name, right? I mean, there's a recognizing, and we've lost that we're losing that as a country. Right? We don't respect people in authority. We don't respect, you know, anymore. We don't respect people. We don't respect people who are older than us, whether they're our parents or not. We don't respect. So it's part, one piece of it is just even acknowledging, I mean, even if you don't like the President of the United States, whoever that might be, there still should be some level of, it's the President of the United States, regardless of, you know, if they're a Christian or not, or if they're your ideal person or not.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, all that, that's true, right? And our children watch us, how we do all those things, and that's what they learn from. And that's a scary prospect. And it's a very penetrating your heart kind of thing. What am I teaching my children? But they watch all of those things. Yes, ma'am.
It's also important to realize that respect goes both ways, because the child will learn more respect if you also respect them.
Yeah, well, I would hope, you know, parents respect their children. But, okay, what do y'all think about that?
Well, in this day and age, I'm not sure if parents have respect for the children. Children don't have respect for their parents.
They're not taught.
But they're not taught that. So if you go to Walmart.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a parent sitting down smoking a cigarette in front of the kid and saying, "Now, don't you ever do this, it'll kill you." You know, you're not teaching it anything, so there's no respect there, because you see, that's where you become contradictory to what you're telling them. So they look at the point, well, if I can't believe that, what else in life do I got to look at? You know? It's all examples. You lead by example, I guess.
Do parents respect their, should parents respect their children the same way the children should respect their parents?
The same way they should respect their parents. same way.
Becky?
My kids are little, so it's a little different situation than somebody whose kids are raised. But, I mean, my children, I admonish them because I respect them. So, I mean, you know, when Russ is crying because he doesn't want to go to Bible class, you know, I'm certainly not going to respect his wishes to stay and be held the entire time, but I'm going to admonish him and send him to class.
But there's a way you go about doing it. You don't beat him.
You've already made a distinction between respect and honor, okay, earlier. So I think we can, there's also, I think, a difference with your children. You respect your children. I mean, I respect my child. I like to think so. I don't honor them in the same way that I think they should honor me. Okay, there's a difference between, I don't put them above in the sense of that they're, when you honor someone, they're to honor this direction. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between honor and respect, listening to it. You don't yell at them, you don't provoke them to anger, you don't. But honor is directional. And then, again, it gets back to you recognizing authority. You're recognizing that there is power there, right, that is given by God.
I agree. And there's a really good lesson, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but I heard it a few years ago, and he talks about this issue. Man, he does such a good job with it. I'll remember his name in a minute. But he talked about this idea of the parent-child relationship, and the dynamics are different depending on which end of that you're on. And one of the things he talked about in there, are we making our children into idols?
Sometimes.
And we do.
Yes.
We do. One of the aspects that I think this is an important discussion to have, and especially between you and your spouse, is the most important relationship outside of Jesus Christ for a husband or wife, what is that? Their children?
Each other.
Their spouse?
Yeah, each other.
But is that the way it always works? No. And that's a sad thing. And so, yes, we need to be respectful to our children in that we don't abuse them, we don't harm, abusive harm to them. We shouldn't always be yelling and screaming at our children, sure. But there is a dynamic that's different there. And so it goes back to respecting authority. And we as parents need to respect that dynamic difference too. Our children should not be our best friend. Sure, we can be friendly with them, but there needs to be that dynamic difference. And also, are we idolizing our children? How would we make our children into idols?
Too much to spank them.
No, okay, you refuse discipline. We'll come back to discipline in a little while. But discipline's a huge thing in this. Yes?
Where the parents' choices, decisions, or the family's choices, decisions all revolve around the child. You know, this child has a travel game. The whole family always plans everything around this child's activities, what they want to do. And it's fine to give some deference to, you know, a child wants to do something. Yes, occasionally they want to go to the zoo. Take them to the zoo. But you don't have your life and all your life choices revolve around what the child desires.
And this, I believe, for me, just speaking for me, this is the hard part of life balance, because it's easy to get out of balance on that and to let your life revolve around your children in sporting activity. I have seen parents run themselves ragged following after their children. And so we have to stop. And I'm not saying I could get into that circumstance, because I could see how very easily I could do that. But that's something I think continually. We were talking about this the other night. You know, we get so busy with our children sometimes. we have to stop and ask, how much time are we taking for us? Mm-hmm. Right? And I think, so number one, that's not good for your relationship between one another. But also, what are you teaching your children by doing that?
That the world revolves around them, and then at some point, they realize the world's not going to treat them like a parent had. So as they get older, and that's what we see a lot in society now, people are freaking out because they're stomping their feet, and you know, because they're not getting their way. And not everybody gets their way. None of us get our way all the time.
And what a great place to teach your children that message than in the home where they're protected. Yes, ma'am.
Going back to what you said earlier, there was a guy named James Dobson that had a whole children's series. And when Sherry was little, she was the most strong-willed child you ever wanted to meet. So me and her dad ordered the book, How to Break the Will Without Breaking the Spirit of a Child. And it was really a good book and helped us tremendously. But she was very strong-willed, was going to do it or die.
It is.
And so we have to be careful with that. And what kind of message are we sending to our children? Again, it'd be very easy to get into that cycle. And I don't know, we've probably been in it before. But it's about remembering the dynamics of authority in the home, remembering that
back in order.
What are we teaching our children? Sorry.
I know my dad, and I got some buddies kind of same deal. You know, you grow up and you get to that 10, 11 years old, you know, I'm stronger than you. You have that, you know, that playfulness between your dad, and then in a certain teenage age, I can remember personally me going nose to nose with my dad, and he quickly putting me in my place in a physical way. And you know, but you think, hey, I'm stronger. But then you reach age two where you realize, even though now you may be stronger than your dad, that mutual respect now that you would never,
it don't matter.
You would never do that. You know, so it's kind of a progression as far as respect goes, you know, how it does change between the child and, in this case, you know, a father or whatever.
Absolutely. Here.
Practically speaking, we need to remember you start out as two and end up as two.
Yeah.
And the parents are in between.
Yeah, those kids will eventually.
You're going to end up with your spouse.
Most of those children move on, and they're going to form their own lives, and it's going to be the two of you. It's one of those things, you know, over the years, talking and working with people who, you have this couple, and they begin to idolize their children, and you watch it, and you're like, they're like running from one event to the next event, doing this thing, that thing. And then eventually the child grows up, they go to college, or they get married, and you got two adults who sit there and look at each other and are like, who are you? Right? And that didn't happen overnight, did it? But it was that idolizing of our children and making them the centerpiece of the family. By the way, who should be the centerpiece of our family? Jesus should be the centerpiece and everything revolves. And then you kind of go out from Jesus to the parents, and then out beyond the parents are the children. And so those are hard things. And again, that doesn't happen overnight. And so a rule, just for our family, I'm not recommending this for everybody, but we've said with our children, we're trying to stick to this, is we'll do two sports a year, two events a year, and not simultaneously. And that's all you get. So you pick what you want to do. But I'm not going to run myself ragged following you around like a little puppy dog or like a servant trying to pick up after you. And that's the other thing that I think is important in this dynamic. Are we teaching our children to be servants or to be served? And I think this kind of works into this. You know, John 13, Jesus who is the rabbi, the master, getting down and beginning to wash the apostles' feet. What was the central message he's trying to teach? And you have to read to the end of that, right, to get it.
What's he trying to teach?
Just because you're the master doesn't mean you shouldn't serve. And so they should serve one another.
And if the master can serve, I think this is the ultimate message. If the master can serve, you can. Yet, what do we find ourselves doing in our homes? These little tornadoes run through the home, creating messes, and here comes mom and dad behind them cleaning it up, trying to keep the house clean. Is that right? No. It's not, right? Is it?
Well, you're not teaching.
Shouldn't you be behind them saying, hey, you've created a mess. You need to clean it up. And I don't need to do it. Yes, ma'am.
Patrick and I have laughed several times over the years, thinking back to our childhoods. Our parents loved us. I mean, it was clear, very obvious. They didn't, you know, abuse us and that kind of stuff. But we were definitely servants. I mean, all the way down to changing the TV channel. There weren't remote controls.
That's right.
When your parent, one, your parents generally watched what they wanted to watch in the evening. In the afternoon, you might get an hour where you got to watch some kids' shows.
Yep.
But when they wanted the channel changed at 7 o'clock at night, they didn't get up to change the channel.
Nope.
One of the kids got up to change the channel. I mean, just that basic. Or if they wanted a drink, hey, can you go get me a drink? And now, you know, our kids are sitting there, can I get you a drink? Yeah, I mean, just very...
That's convicting.
And,
you want to cut it in the heart.
I can think back to our childhoods, and we were not served like either we serve our children today or we see other parents serve our children.
Exactly. And even chores around the house. I mean dangerous stuff. I mean, I look back at what my parents had me. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? It's a wonder I'm still here.
Well, I remember pushing that mower across the yard. My uncle, like, one day that kid's going to cut his toes off while he pushes that mower. But you know what? I was out there pushing.
But it made us stronger to do that. And, like, we're killing the kids. We're making them do it.
You know, and I remember going back to what you're saying about television. Like, I knew I had, right after school, I had a little bit of time when I could watch Transformers or G.I. Joe. And man, when the Cubs would play baseball during the summer, I hated it because that was my one opportunity. But when my dad got home, I had to go do something else.
We had one TV, that's right.
That was his time. And I think there's an important thing going on there. And like you say, about teaching our children to do those kind of things is important. And it goes into the next thing. So he says that they're to honor their father and mother. Why? And he relates it back to the Ten Commandments. And what does he say? Well, your soul, what's a different translation there? That you may live long on the earth. That you may live long on the earth. Well, what is that? What does he mean by that?
My mom
wasn't going to
kill me.
Huh? Well,
let's be honest here. Now,
I don't remember the Israelites ever doing it, but one of the things that God goes on to say about disobedient children is what? If they're
taking the elders and have stoned if they refuse to listen.
That is such a far divergent from the modern United States of America home, right? The thought of taking your children out because they're rebellious, so rebellious you couldn't control them and having them stoned.
I'm pretty sure my mama believed in that.
Now we did growing up have the switch bush.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And I knew what that was, and I hated that plant. And I remember being told at times to go out and cut a switch off.
Yep, that's when it hurt.
And she wasn't just going to spank you with it. You were going to be the one to cut it.
Yep.
And so you cut that thing as short as you could the first time. She'd keep sending you back until you got the right length. Right? And then afterwards, you go find that thing and tear it up. But there was an important lesson being taught there. Now, we'll talk about discipline probably next week, but what's the lesson? Like, we're teaching our children things have consequences, but we're also teaching them that there's a dynamic difference here. And it goes back to what Patrick said earlier, teaching them about authority. And that's so vitally important.
It is.
Our children need to learn about authority. Because this isn't just a parent-child thing. I mean, authority goes to every area of our life, especially in regard to God. If I understand what authority means, am I going to have a big issue in being obedient to God? Or at least not changing what He's asked me to do? No. But if I have a problem and I don't understand authority, and when I go to God, how am I going to treat Him? I'm going to treat Him just like I did my parents, like I do the other authorities in my life. And so this is an important issue, Sandy.
Well, that statement you're talking about, that you'll have a long life, you know, whatever, live well on the earth kind of thing. I mean, there's obviously a physical implication there. I mean, the simple things like your parent tells you don't run into the street. You know, if you disobey when you run into the street, you're not going to have a good long life. But it translates as you get older into, you know, that's a training ground for obedience to Christ and God. And the reality is, when you are an obedient Christian, your life on earth is better. I mean, it just is. I mean, you're going to have less difficulties that people of the world face, you know, who don't know God and don't obey God. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, it's your eternal life. So, I mean, all of that is training ground. And, you know, that statement's just very far-reaching. I mean, it has the very, you know, immediate now implications, but even as you go through your life and mature, life on earth, and then ultimately eternal life.
Yeah, so, like, exactly. And like, if we can teach our children to learn from us, that's going to teach them to learn from other people as well. Right? And that's so important to teach our children the humility to learn, that you don't know everything. We get into trouble in our arrogance, the thinking we know what's best always. And part of our role as parents, I believe, is teaching our children, you don't know everything. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to seek out that through other people's doing.
Well, I wonder one of the moments when I realized what I meant to my parents was, when I was really little, I would sit on the driveway and play right behind the car. And I would do that, and my mother would tell me not to. And I'd move, and then I'd go back. Well, one day, I was sitting behind the car, and it popped out of here. And it started rolling backwards. Now, for some reason, that didn't bother me a lot because I just laid down and the car went right over the top. But when I looked to the side, my mother was on her knees crying because she was sure I was dead. And my dad was standing there just staring at me. And, like, you know, he didn't know what to do. Well, I immediately went over there and got down beside my mother, and then I was crying. And because I had hurt her really bad, and that taught me something, and I never went behind a car or anything even close to that again. And I was maybe 4 years old, something like that.
That's stuck with you, though.
It's in my brain even to now, today, that it taught me, you know, respect and honor, and, you know, that, yeah, they knew what they were doing when they said don't do that.
You know, you think about bringing that up, you know, to the church. If we raise a bunch of idolized children where they're not taught to respect, they're not taught there's a dynamic difference, and those children grow up, unless they even become Christians, and we get a church filled with idolized children, what's that going to do in regard to elderships, in regard to the Word of God, into the Word of God? I think those are things, we're not just training them up to have a good life. We hope to teach them skills and to give them opportunities to be successful later in life, materially or at least you know, emotionally. But what we're really training them to do, hopefully, is to be successful spiritually, or at least giving them the opportunity to be successful. And it's going to be on them. But it's the things we impart when they're young that make a big difference.
Well, sometimes we forget that the child does not belong to you. The child's God. You're just the steward given the responsibility to train that child. Sometimes I think we get too wrapped up in this is my son. No, it isn't. It's God's son. You're just the steward of the one given the responsibility to care for that child. And that makes a lot of difference in how you view the child and your responsibility toward that child.
Well, good comments today. What we'll do is, well, let's go into verse 3 here. So he goes on to say that it may go well with you that you may live long on the land or in the land. And so we kind of talked about that and everything. And then in verse 4, he changes the focus. We focus a lot on this today, but we'll talk about it a little bit more next week in some direct fashion in regard to spiritual training in the home and ask some questions. We'll go into verse 4. And as we'll close out this particular quarter and talk about what does that look like? Now, does everybody
raise their children the same way?
No. Now, is your way the best way?
No.
Yeah. Mother's thing, yeah. So, God leaves us some ability to choose some different things. But I think there are some principles that are so vitally important as we move forward. We'll close out this session today and look forward to closing out this series of classes and studies next Sunday. We'll close out just a little bit early here. I'll give you 2 minutes as we'll meet back in here in just a few minutes for worship. Thank you.